Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Tim Versalotti, things have changed when it comes to immigration. In fact, we have almost, you know, a record sort of change in the velocity of the debate over immigration. Years ago, we had Lou Dobbs on the television inciting everybody and saying, these people will take your jobs and this and that. And then all of a sudden, we have a presidential election. The Hispanic vote goes almost entirely, it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but almost entirely to the Democratic candidate. And all of a sudden, Republicans start to talk about we got to have an immigration package. So what is your polling picking up?
Well, when we talk to people, and we haven't polled on immigration in a while, the tension is between the rule of law and rewarding people who didn't obey the law, and yet the economic need for people who are here to continue to do the jobs they're doing. There's intense debate in academia over whether undocumented workers really do take away jobs or do they simply do the jobs nobody else wants to do. Mm-hmm. And watching the current immigration debate, yes, it's clearly driven by an important number. If you look at exit polls in each of the last three presidential election cycles, this past cycle, Latinos were 10% of the electorate. 2008, they were 9%. 2004, they were 8%. Every cycle, that percentage is going to keep going up. And, of course, they went in large part for President Obama this time around.
Why? Because they were being dissed? In other words, that's a fascinating question. There are those people who thought, well, okay, people who were legally here would vote to close up the portal and bring up the ladder. But that doesn't happen, does it?
No. We in political behavior, especially in the study of African American politics, there's a concept called linked fate, where middle class African Americans initially were expected perhaps to vote differently once they made it. And what the studies show is that no, there is such a strong group identity that linked fate drives their votes, and so African Americans tend to vote Democratic, believing that the party's policies are more likely to benefit African Americans. The Latinos are a slightly different group because they vary; their behavior varies by ethnic descent. Cuban Americans behave very differently from Mexican Americans or from Puerto Ricans. But what we do know is that there is some block voting, particularly among Mexican Americans and Puerto Ricans, so that arguments, that undocumented immigrants should self-deport, which was a phrase Governor Romney used quite famously last year, that didn't sit well, even with naturalized Latinos or second or third generation Latinos, because of the sense that there but for the grace of God go I, that someone came years ago or someone dealt with discrimination years ago or that someone in their social network is still living in the shadows because of the immigration system. That kind of rhetoric from the Republican Party fueled the votes of Latinos who are here legally, citizens, registered to vote. And so the Republican Party is acknowledging that. And we see that in these bipartisan efforts to come up with some type of immigration reform.
I want to talk to you a little bit while I have you, Tim Versalotti, which is a precious commodity to us here at WMC, about the assault on the Senate by the GOP. There are many who think that Democrats are having to defend too many seats, that they're vulnerable, and that the GOP could take over the Senate. Could it?
It sure could. This cycle that's coming up in 2014, these Democrats won in 2008 when President Obama was at the top of the ticket. Now they're on their own in the midterm. And so you see Mark Pryor in Arkansas, Mark Begich in Alaska, Kay Hagan in North Carolina, Mary Landrieu in Louisiana. These are all states that went Republican in the 2012 presidential, and so these are folks who are facing a tough climb in terms of defending their seats.
So what would it mean? I mean, the Republicans have the House. It's unlikely they're going to lose it. On the other hand, President Obama has developed a pretty good cache of places and issues that he has the Republicans in a sort of vulnerable spot on gun control. Americans believe, you know, and you know this, by wide margins on background checks, for example, on immigration, on some of the other things that he has their backs up against the wall. How important can a president be in terms of defending the Senate?
Well, President Obama has to pick his battles in terms of campaigning in the cycle. Sure. There are some of these races in generally red states, he's not doing anyone a favor when he comes into campaign on their behalf. And given the votes in the Senate recently on the gun control legislation, he may not feel inclined to get out there for some Democrats who abandoned him in trying to get the bills to the 60-vote majority that they need.
Yeah, well, the Republicans, Tim, aren't going to help him any more than that. And in the end, it would be a disaster for him to have two houses of Congress in Republican control, wouldn't it?
No doubt. And in particular, as we know, and as our students who are paying attention can tell us, the Senate confirms presidential appointments and ratifies sure. treaties. And so having the Senate controlled by the opposing party really neutralizes a sitting president. It would make the last 2 years of President Obama's term particularly difficult. It's already tough when a president is term limited those final 2 years. It's hard to get anything done as it is. It would be next to impossible were the Republicans to control the Senate. And yet, President Obama is not eager to get out there sometimes and campaign on behalf of Democrats further down the ticket. He prefers policy over politics in some ways. And so it's just hard to predict how much of his political capital he's going to put on the line, even though it's clearly in his self-interest to work to keep the Senate in Democratic hands in 2014.
Well, what's the polling showing that you've seen the national polling on these races?
What we're seeing, and it varies by state, we're seeing that, and again, Alaska and Arkansas, the sitting Democratic senators from both of those states voted against the gun control measures, mindful that they face tough races back home. We've seen some encouraging numbers if you're a Democrat for Kay Hagan in North Carolina. The Republicans are having a little trouble coming up with a strong challenger. And Mary Landrieu, who's always a question mark in Louisiana, so far the polling there seems promising for her. But again, it's early, and these things can change, as we know.
So if you had to give any advice to the president, what would you tell him to do?
Well, what I would say is, you think it's hard now. You know, the filibuster rule doesn't seem like it's going to change anytime soon.
No.
Harry Reid does not seem inclined to bring the hammer down, because he may also be looking past 2014 and saying the filibuster may be the Democrats' firewall.
You bet.
The Senate. What one would have to say to the president, and, you know, that there's a certain amount of hubris there, telling the president what to do, is that if you think it's tough now, just wait till Mitch McConnell is the majority leader. And so as much as you find it difficult to get out there on the stump, this is it. This is your last shot. Now you begin to think about your legacy as an outgoing president. So you might want to rethink your travel plans for 2014 and start thinking about some of those swing states for your Democratic colleagues in the Senate.
It's always wonderful to talk to our Tim Versalotti, professor at Western New England University, director of the Western New England University poll, and a guy who always makes politics interesting, and that's not the easiest thing in the world. Tim, thank you so much. We have so much respect for you. Appreciate it.
Oh, such a pleasure. Thank you, Alan.